Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies, Ken Berger speaker. Today we will continue in our new series of studies. It's a short series on the personal glories of the Lord. On our last broadcast, we already considered the glory of His exaltation, and with the help of the Lord today, we wish to consider the glory of His vindication. The Father vindicates the Son. The Father exalts the Son. In the 22nd chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the Pharisees were gathered together, and they were giving the Lord a hard time about questions about the law. And after He had answered their questions, He asks them a question. Here is the question that the Lord asks them. In the 41st verse of the 22nd chapter of Matthew, we read, "While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, The son of David. He said unto them, How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, till I make thy foes thy footstool. If David then called him Lord, how is he then his son? And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions." Here was the question. Whose son? Let's read it and make sure that we get it correct. "While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, The son of David. How does David call him Lord in Psalm 110? That's the psalm that the Lord quotes. Now, if he calls the Messiah, and he's really speaking about the Messiah, Psalm 110 is about the Jewish Messiah. They recognize that. And here David calls him Lord. Now, if they say that the Messiah is David's son, how could he be David's son and David's Lord at the same time? They could not answer the question. But the answer was standing right in front of them. Our Lord Jesus Christ was David's Lord, and he was David's son. He was God and man in the same person. He was the root and the offspring of David. David came from the Lord Jesus, the root, and then he was the offspring of David, too. We see this in his incarnation. But that is a wonderful psalm, and we should read it because it is the vindication that the Father gives the Son. I'd like to read that 110th psalm to you. In verse 1, we read there, "The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauty of holiness from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way, as a victor, I may say. Therefore shall he lift up the head." Now this is a wonderful psalm, and you know these Pharisees never thought about this psalm before. Now they knew that the Lord here, I think they did, was the Messiah, and the coming Messiah, but they never thought about the fact that David said, "The Lord, Jehovah, God the Father, said to my Lord, the Messiah." Well, now, if he was David's Lord, he couldn't be David's son in their thinking, but yes, he was. He was indeed David's son and David's Lord at the same time, and the Pharisees never thought of the Scripture in that way. But we want to see how that the Father vindicates the Son. "The Lord said unto my Lord, The Father said unto the Son, Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Now this was spoken at the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. A comparison of other scriptures that where this very scripture is quoted will show us that immediately after the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, when he went up to heaven, God said to him, Sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. This was spoken at his resurrection. He had won the day. He had won the battle. He had gone to the cross. He had answered to God for your sins and for mine. He had died under the judgment of God to accomplish salvation for a guilty world. The Lord Jesus Christ was indeed the victor. And God says, Sit thou on my right hand. Now you sit after your work is done. And the work of salvation was done. And he says, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstools. Those that crucified him, those that troubled him in his ministry here below, those that would have stoned him had they could, on one occasion they stoned him, they would have stoned him in the temple if he had not escaped. How did they have stones in the temple? I think they brought the stones with them so they could find the Lord Jesus in the temple and stone him there. He compared himself to Abraham on that occasion. He says, Before Abraham was, I am. Now that's not good grammar, but it's good theology. Before Abraham was, I am the eternal I am. And they took up stones to stone him. I think they carried the stones. They thought he had blasphemed. He just simply went out of their presence and hid himself. Now, the Father is going to vindicate his Son from all of these people that give him such a hard time. Now, he vindicates himself against the priests of the temple that were so opposed to him. He vindicates the Lord Jesus by this statement, The Lord hath sworn and will not repent, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now the Apostle Paul, and I believe he's the writer of the book of Hebrews, skillfully brings out the fact that Melchizedek was a priest of a different order, not after the order of Aaron. Our Lord Jesus Christ is a prophet, a priest, and a king. But he's not a priest after the order of Aaron. He's a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Who was this Melchizedek? He was the king of Salem. After Abraham on one occasion fought the battles of that day, subdued five kings and delivered Lot from their bondage, from their capture, he went to the king of Salem, rather, and the king of Salem blessed him. Now here was a king and a priest at the same time. That could not happen in Israel. The priests came from the tribe of Levi. The kings came from the tribe of Judah. And they were not to be mingled. Uzziah was the king of Israel on one occasion. And he tried to go into the temple to offer incense. And the priest told him, No, it does not appertain to you, Uzziah, to offer in the temple. You are of the tribe of Judah. He went in anyway, and the Lord smote him with leprosy. Now, Melchizedek blessed Abraham, and the scripture tells us, and Paul makes it such a point of it, in the book of Hebrews, the less is always blessed of the better. This man was a mystery. We do not have his genealogy, but here he is on the pages of scripture, the only one of his kind, Melchizedek, a priest and a king. And now here, God says, I'm going to vindicate you. I'm going to make you a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, in the 7th chapter of Hebrews, Paul brings out there that the Aaronic priesthood was interrupted by the death of the priest. Notice the language here. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. His priesthood was an eternal priesthood. Christ couldn't die. Christ did not enter in upon his priesthood until after his death. It could not be said that our high priest died. The Aaronic priest died, but he was made a priest. He was declared a priest after his resurrection. That's what the 110th Psalm is about. And it is spoken after his resurrection, after death was passed. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent, thou art our priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Oh, there's so much to be learned to contrast the Melchizedek priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ with the Aaronic priesthood. Let's just make a few of those comparisons. One is made, and I love this, in the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews. We read there in that chapter that those Aaronic priests had to offer for their own sins, and they had to keep it up. And then they offered for the sins of the people of Israel. The problem of sin wasn't cared for under the Aaronic priesthood, but Christ came a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, he was not installed. He was not installed until after his resurrection. God told him, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now notice this contrast, please. The Aaronic priests mentioned in Hebrews 10 and 11 are said to be the priests that stand ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. That's the way it's put. Every priest standeth. Do you notice that, please? There were no chairs in the temple. There were no chairs in the tabernacle. Their work was never done. But listen, please. But this man, Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, just as God told him, sit thou on my right hand till I make thy foes thy footstool. Christ's work is done. The work that saves is done. Our great high priest lives and lives forever. God vindicates him by making him a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He owed nothing to the Aaronic priesthood. He is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Why? Because his work is done. He paid for our sins once when he died on the cross of Calvary. And when he died on the cross of Calvary, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, showing that now the way into the holiest of all was open to all. You and I can go into the presence of God through our great high priest at any time we want to. So great is the vindication of our Lord by the Father, a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. This is a wonderful study. We have treated it, oh, so lightly. Our Father, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that you will increase our admiration for the Lord Jesus and for his glories, the glories that you give him by his vindication. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.